Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined in the studio by James Brown, the Leeds supporter. You'll know him as a voice on Talk Sport, often talking about his beloved Leeds. But he's also the man that created Loaded, had an amazing career in music publishing and beyond, had quite the story to tell, and his autobiography is great. So he came in and had a good long chat about that with us.
It was good.
We had some clips of the month for you as well. We brought you those. You'll hear those again. And we had a bit of a chat about various things at the top of the show. And I think that should just about do you. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. I have to start with a short apology.
Yes.
I may have said the referee for the Southampton-Brentford game last Saturday was called Thomas Breville.
Yes.
But in fact, I am an apology. It's Thomas Bramall.
Okay.
Which would have made my toasted sandwich again.
You did a toasted
sandwich. Yeah.
I mean, that is a bit of a leap as well, isn't it? You really shoehorn that in just to do a Breville gag.
Yeah.
Wow, wee.
Well, that's how I heard it. I thought it said, that it was Thomas
we should
Breville,
salute
but it was
the,
Thomas
the job
Bramall.
He did by sticking did. To his guns.
I went to see Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris yesterday.
Very yes.
Oh, excellent
yes.
film, actually, with Leslie Manfield. But unfortunately, no mention of Chopper, who I thought might have featured.
Ron Harris Goes to Paris would have been
great,
quite interested.
I kept thinking that right throughout the movie.
He just becomes the defensive coach for PSG. Imagine that. Yeah. I mean, there'd be certain players there that wouldn't really mind. Yeah, I'm sure they've got a few. Sergio Ramos, he could say, even Ron would learn the art of the forearm smash because he could never. He'd go 2-footed neck high, but he wouldn't give someone a forearm smash.
What's French
like Sergio,
for put it in rosette?
Put it in. Well, we'll find out a little bit later on. I'll get it translated
we
for
can.
You. But lovely idea of Ron Harris goes. If you want to take film titles and turn them into football ones this afternoon, not
That's
so much.
A good idea.
Not so much. Puns. It could. I mean, it could be. It could feature
but
names,
like that,
but
yeah.
It would make it a very different film. Ron Harris Goes to Paris.
It's a very good
it's not
idea.
About couture dresses, is it?
No.
And the Paris catwalk. I wouldn't think.
It's a terrific movie. I have to say.
Yes.
It's
okay. Well, fair enough. But anyway, let us know this afternoon if you can turn some of the great films into sports movies. We can imagine what they were like. Maybe you want to try and imagine what they were like. Talksport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ. TSH. ANDJ.
There's a story about the Sevilla coach, Julian Lopetegui, and this might be his last game tonight, and they're saying that he's on his way to Wolves.
Yes.
I was thinking, blimey, they checked his passport. They do know he's not Portuguese, don't they?
Can't
be.
Yes.
Someone will work it out in the office. No, stop him.
Mettez le don l'orangie Z.
Thank you.
There we are.
Yeah, marvellous.
Put it in row Z.
Thank you very much. What else? I see the Forest head of recruitment and scouting face an uncertain future. I'm not
yeah.
surprised, really. They were poor the other night, weren't they?
They were, yes, yeah, unfortunately. But we were sticking with Steve Cooper yesterday. We think he deserves more time.
Me too. Exactly that. I'd stick with Steve Cooper.
I watched My Mob last night.
The only thing I can think is
that they're growing pampas on the training ground because there's clearly a lot of very long grass because every pass seems to be fired into another player. Every cross is over hit.
Yeah.
It seems very odd. You know, it just seems that they've just that final ball that he's just eluding.
I said to you before the show that if you looked at Spurs before the start of the season, the one thing you wouldn't have questioned was the striking department.
Yes.
And that's the problem. And that is just temporary. I mean, all the Kane and Son and Richarlison are class players. This won't go on the whole season. And I think the criticism of Antonio Conte is bonkers.
Poor.
You know, goals make such a difference.
Yeah.
Spurs should have won that game quite comfortably.
Yeah,
last
they could
night.
Have easily been 2-0 up at half time.
People would have said, well, what a fine performance in Europe.
You but know, yeah, you're so. Right. Son's miss in the first half was a bad one. Kane, the one he sort of screwed around the post by his standards, was a poor one. It was just the touch of a lot of players. I mean, even Richarlison and Sonny again, quite a poor game. Quite a poor contribution from him,
yeah,
really,
it's
last
a very
night.
Strange season.
And they do having. Really miss Kulusevski. I mean, oh, he yeah. makes such a big difference
huge
to that team. So,
in transition. Every time Kane took a knock, though, it wasn't just Spurs fans who.
It's England, well, yeah.
It is. It's going to be. That one where he sort of threw himself forward, I thought, oh, blimey.
Well, you all know that's going to be that front cover of the Sun. He's going to be, you know, it's like the Wayne Rooney metatarsal. There's going to be one of those, isn't there?
Yeah,
pray for.
Someone will.
You have to kind of rub Harry Kane's ankle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before the first round yeah, games exactly. on the copy of a tabloid newspaper. We're going to get one
I
of those.
I felt a bit for
we?
Brian Heal who came on.
Yeah, well, if you've got 10 minutes to shine, you've had yeah, no game time. You run around like a headless chicken, but that's essentially what he did.
Yeah,
and
he's
lost
still
the
easy
ball.
To knock off the ball, but he's got yeah. good skills. You know, I've written he'd be good in the Jockeys League.
Well, that's good. I think the money's not quite as good as
no,
it is in the
not.
Premier League. But is he goes down quite easily and then looks for free
yeah,
kicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And even a Champions League ref that would normally, you know, I mean, in the Premier League, you'd have no chance of getting
no.
those. So, yeah, he is very much work in progress, but very skillful player. Anyway.
Kudos scored for Ajax. Hats off to him.
Yes, indeed. They had that picture yesterday of, sorry, the lovely romantic image of Diego Maradona and Johan Cruyff up in heaven. About to watch the game between Napoli and Ajax. I would imagine Johan in heaven put his foot through the telly,
yeah,
which wouldn't
did.
Have gone down too well, I think, in that part of the world. But we're going to touch on that later on because that was a mad result. We're going to look back at some of the big stories in the Champions League, and we'll preview the games this afternoon. We'll talk a bit of Chelsea later on. Vittorio Angeloni's a big Celtic fan. He's going to pop in and see us. We'll find out more about what Copenhagen offer and indeed Leipzig offer this evening in their games. And Tancredi Palmieri joins us. Over in Italy, Bakayoko, one of your boys,
yeah.
is on loan at Milan, isn't he?
He is.
And
if he plays one more game, they have to buy him for 12 million, according to Tancredi on Twitter.
Yeah.
And of course, that's why they'll never be paying him ever again.
So what's he going to do? Sit there for the rest of the season and not play?
Yeah, exactly. He might go somewhere in January.
Football does this thing, doesn't it? We've seen it just with Griezmann, although we're here today that they've managed to sort
him.
Out a deal which means he can play more than 28 minutes a game.
When he was at Monaco, he looked a really good player. Then he came
Bakayoko,
to Chelsea and he was absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
And he's not been any better since, really.
But the idea that they know if they put him out for five, so he's going to be the last player on earth that gets a game, is it?
Yeah.
For them, because then they'll have to buy him and they don't want to buy him.
No.
In any other line of work, if you worked at Curry's, and like they said, you know, the minute he sells over four tellies, we've got to give him a full-time job.
See, I mean, just... Yeah, but you'd want to. Bakayoko wouldn't sell four tellies. He'd sell no tellies and drop one. Is what he'd do.
Okay, fair enough. Poor old boy's getting in the neck today.
Well, let's be honest.
So, just bringing it out, I'm just going to take this out to the customer.
I refer the jury to his performance against yeah. Watford.
Just taking it out to the customer. Smash. Oh, he's broken another one. Let's get one out of the stock room.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, I'm sure a great many of the listeners were loaded readers, also NME readers and sounds readers over the years. So, probably know James Brown from his work here on the station with Johnny Vaughan. On the warm-up
top
back
show.
In the day. And we often speak to him about Leeds. But James has written his autobiography, Animal House, taking you for all those years, starting off in the fanzine days, the very early days, through the music press, to Loaded and beyond. And there's a lot about his personal life in there as well, which we'll come on to. And he's with us in the studio, are you, James?
Afternoon, guys.
On one level, it is a romp, as I said to you the other day. I mean, there's so much stuff, so much content, so many anecdotes and funny stories from all the periods of your life, really. Certainly from the period when you're in the music press and then into Loaded and beyond. But there's some very honest stuff in there as well. You talk about your mum, who was ill for a very long time. You talk about your own issues around drink and drugs and the rehab you went through as well. So it's more than just a romp through the Loaded years, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the publishers wanted everything, so, you know, I gave them everything. And I think that, you know, I was really lucky. I had a brilliant career in publishing. In the sort of mid to late 80s, when I became a music journalist, there were so many great bands emerging, and there were kind of a lot of great rock and roll bands, but also there was a rap era, you know, with the Beastie Boys and Run DMC, Public Enemy, Def Jam, Scott La Rock, all of that era. And then also was the emergence of house music, and then the Madchester, and there were just so many great bands to write about then. And then what I learned as a, I haven't got any qualifications in journalism, and what I learned at the NME, being able to use those skills and that experience to launch Loaded, which was a totally and utterly unexpected phenomenon. But you know, you worked in magazines.
Yeah.
People thought within publishing that men would never read a mass market magazine in the same way as women had Cosmopolitan, Marie Claire, Elle, and so on. It just proved them wrong. You know, it was a very simple requirement to put football and music together. That was the starting point. And then also to add nightclubbing. Travel was just changing then. You know, people were starting.
It was a golden era for magazines, wasn't it?
It was the last golden era, the end of the 90s. I mean, people used to, publicists and record companies and film companies, and they would pay a fortune in advertising and PR contracts to get their people into magazines. And, you know, I had a lot of freedom because both magazines, The NME and Loaded, were very successful. You know, I was age 22 and I was features editor of The NME. I was choosing every week who went on the front cover, which is it's a phenomenal thing to do. Yeah. It would be like, imagine having somebody running the content of the station who were 22. You'd be just nuts. But it was, you know, I was able to put a lot of young bands on the cover, you know, people like Happy Mondays and the Charlatans and Stone Roses and so on, that people loved. You know, it was a good time. And then the same with Loaded, just having that freedom, because, you know, we weren't supposed to make any money for 3 years. We made the first pound of profit after 12 weeks.
Yeah.
And
I had a ringside seat to all this, James, because I was next door.
Yeah, and we were through the wall.
We were basically, they wouldn't have us in the main building, 90 minutes and Loaded. So they stuck us over the road in this little office. Mm. So our only way out really into the street from the 90 minutes office, and there was a lot of kind of interchange between the sort of 90 minutes and the Loaded office, was to go through the office. So quite a lot of these stories and quite a lot of the mayhem that I recall at the time was going on next door.
I remember going there in 94 as well.
To see me about a TV idea that I had. Mm. Was it noisy from outside?
No, noisy than anywhere else. We were all in there. We had a little bit of bleed from the music we were playing. I always remember the shed on the roof. You had that shed on the roof. And you could go in there, and if you were working late and you fancied a beer, there'd be beer in there. If you fancied an ice cream. I remember once you seemed to have about 12,000 Kit Kat ice creams or something. The stuff would get sent to you all the time.
It was constant. Yeah. Loaded had a very broad range of editorial interests. Yeah. You know, basically anything that the staff or the readers were into, if we thought we could get a good angle on it, was funny. So much of the content just generated from us, were generated from conversations in the pub. Yeah. And we did spend a lot of time in the pub, not after hours, because I knew that, you know, if somebody was having an argument about who was better, Chuck Norris or Steven Seagal, there's a good chance the readers will be interested in reading that. Mm. Or, you know, my favourite one was, you know, when we created the Crisps World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, trying to find which the best crisp was.
There's been a lot of that stuff since then, hasn't
it? Yeah, I mean, that originated from my boss claiming that kettle chips, which in those days were really expensive and posh, they were in bags the size of pillows, were better than Walkers. And so there was just endless stuff being sent in. I mean, literally at the beginning, I just wanted to get in a football for free.
I mean, you paid a price, but you sound like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's hard to. I mean, read the book. Anyone who read Loaded, and by the time I left after 3 years, we were selling a third of a million a month, and the National Readership Survey suggested there were 4 or 5 people reading every issue.
Yeah.
Because like here at TalkSport, if you see a good book or a magazine on your colleague's desk, you pick it up and you nick it and have a read of it, and it gets passed around. And there was endless things sent in. You know, like people would show up with boxes. There was a guy came every week with boxes of crisps and booze, and it was just, we had this stack of, do you remember Moscow Mule?
Oh, yes, yeah,
because this was also the Alka-Pop era, you know.
Yeah,
there was like two dogs and hooch and getting all of that stuff in. We had a wall of Star Apartment beer and Moscow Mule behind the secretaries, the PA's kind of, area. And
I mean, you were given a lot of. I was working with you at IPC, and it was a very corporate environment. I mean, we had like New Scientist and Cage and Avery Bird, and Over the Road.
Well, that's why we were in the stables.
That's
why
they put us in the other studio, in the other office. But you know, the fact that you were given so much freedom from a corporate point of view to create this kind of fairly hedonistic, mad, very loose. I mean, it broke all the rules, really, of what how a magazine should work, and they let you get on with it.
Well, it's amazing.
Because it was making the money.
It's amazing the influence making money for people. But you're right. Nobody came near us. No. Nobody. They just, after the first three issues, our boss, Alan Lewis, kind of just left us to it. He was in charge of the editorial for all the titles, and didn't see him again, apart from if there was a drink going, you know, or an argument about crisps to be had. And I think it was just, if you've been some sort of creative industry, being given a blank sheet of paper can possibly be quite, you know, ominous.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just like freedom. You know, I'd edited my own fanzine as a teenager, then I'd had all the times on the NME where I was allowed to put in whatever I wanted.
So yeah, you cover all that in the book, don't you?
Yeah, and just to be able to sort of put Gary Speed or Lee Sharp or one of the young footballers that was getting a lot of attention alongside Oasis or the Charlatans or Black Grape or, you know, Carl Cox or, you know, whatever we were covering. It was that mix that made it so successful. Once we got out there and people realised it was like being in a pub with your mates, and it was, you know, we didn't think we were better than the readerships. And I think magazines that had come before, like The Face and ID, they were really cool, you know, and they were about this kind of really cool elite fashion and clubs and so on. And then GQ was, you know, they'd have government ministers on the cover.
Yeah.
They'd have reviews of, like, you know, I don't know. It was just old and stuffy. Yeah, it was nothing like our lives. It wasn't, you know, and there was so much going on in the 90s from television with things like, you know, television and comedy like The Faz Show and Vic and Bob and Jack D and all of those different people, Frank Skinner and Fantasy Football and David Baddiel. And then the gigs, you know, all the different bands that I mentioned, the emergence of festivals again.
Yeah. That's the thing about the book, as I said to you the other day, it's really evocative if all through it from the early days. The music, the TV, the kind of just the pop culture stuff.
The zeitgeist of the time.
You know, that you mentioned at the time, and it just brings a lot of stuff
back. There was so much going on. Yeah. I mean, I can remember being on the District Line, which is the green line. It goes across the bottom of London, you know, by the river, and looking out and seeing a poster, a single sheet poster, of three blokes in black shirts and, sorry, black jackets, black ties, white shirts, and what appeared to be blood splattered across it. And I got to the next station, there was another one, and that was the first posters for Reservoir Dogs. I can remember seeing a script of Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels when I moved to GQ. There was a script of that in our office.
Wow.
And then reading The Beach, you know, that I picked up that book on a holiday in Wales. I just thought, oh, that there was a quote from Nick Hornby on the cover, that I didn't know anything about it. So these things that were emerging, like Trainspotting, like The Beach, like Reservoir Dogs, that became great era-defining films, Pulp Fiction and so on, they were coming out of nowhere. Nobody knew about any of these things. And I think, you know, that decade was a period when people who had just been really, maybe quite isolated and really focused on the things they were passionate about through the 80s. In the 90s, they got to fulfil their opportunities, you know, fulfil their creativity.
James Brown is with us. We're chatting about his autobiography, Animal House, and we'll talk more. We'll talk about our drunken question to Louis van Gaal, almost caused an international football incident, and that's the amount of footballers who loved the magazine, and to more serious matters as well. That's all to come.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Journalist and loaded creator James Brown with us in the studio. We're chatting about his autobiography, Animal House. The big focus on the loaded years, of course. Just before we leave that, and we talk about some of the football stories. The kind of lad mag genre has taken a lot of heat since. They talk about the loaded generation. And I think it's kind of, if you look at the old loaded covers, you read the magazines, you look at the journalism. I mean, the kind of lad mag, as we know to kind of know afterwards, and it got pilloried, was really after loaded, post-loaded,
you know,
wasn't it?
I was getting blamed for the act to come on afterwards, you know. They were like, if you get the book, if you get Animal House, we've put a lot of the covers on the inside, the inside covers. And, you know, my covers were men that we admired. So Jimmy White, Frank Skinner, Will Carlin, Gazza.
It was Kevin Keegan, Sean Bean, David Letterman. That was bold. I mean, not a lot of people knew Letterman over here.
Well, he'd done his week in London.
Oh, right.
And they had Peter O'Toole on. And they got a
Brilliant career, did they?
They bought a camel on.
Oh, right.
And they had a camel drinking a lager. And to be honest, Paul, again, I don't think you will have had this problem on a football mag, but I don't think we had a cover.
Right.
I don't think we had one issue. I don't think we had somebody that stood out. And everyone thought that the camel drinking the beer... They shot it at LWT, which was right next to the loaded and 90-minute offices. Mm. And it was so funny. And I thought, well, people love the great moment in life section. I said, let's just put that on the cover. You know, because you always think you've got to go with a big interview. Yeah. But actually, we're loaded. You could have put like...
But anybody on the cover.
You could have put a pint and a bucket of crisps, and it was selling so well.
Yeah.
That people would have bought it.
Well, football was a big part of it. I know I used to see him quite a lot at the events. We'd come along for a drink with you boys, and there'd often be some of the island players. You befriended quite a few of those, and they were big fans of the mag, as was Big Jack, as you're discovering the book. But the Van Gaal story is probably worth telling if we're going to just pick one story. So tell us how you nearly started transfer story.
I wrote that so long ago, I forgot about it. We could go anywhere. You know, once I got the company credit card, it was multiple plane tickets, and nobody ever talked to me about expenditure ever. Yeah. And retrospectively, I wish I'd done more. Mm. But five of us went to Amsterdam for the weekend, as you would. Anybody listening to this station, if they got the company credit card and nobody was going to check what it was being spent on, would go to Amsterdam.
And
we also went to, you know, Sydney and Hawaii and all sorts of places like that. But you know, when in Amsterdam, do as the Dutch, you know, and we had some of that, the dope cake.
Mm.
The woman, she had a tray of it on the cafe, and I said, well, what about this big bit on the end? She goes, that would stop an elephant. And me...
that was a challenge, was it?
Yeah, no. Me and Reese, who was also keen on the mind-altering substances, we were straight in for the elephant stoppers.
Mm.
And at first it was fine, and then but in the evening we were going to see Ajax play. And it kicked in about 20 minutes into the game. I was crawling around the press box, barking like a dog. But to be fair, all the Dutch journalists at that point thought it was funny. They were just laughing. And then afterwards, nowadays, as everybody who listens to the station and watches television knows, they have a thing called a mix zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the players come out and the journalists and the reporters and people like Moose and so on are able to talk to the players in this mix zone. But we didn't have that in England then, or Scotland and or Wales. And we, you know, so I was in the mix zone with Louis van Gaal, and I was I was just tripping, you know.
Yeah.
And I was a very good liar in those days. And I said to van Gaal, so I've come from the Mirror or the Sun or whatever, one of the tabloids, and just come to Louis. When are you going to announce the Overmars to Man United story? Dead straight. I was hallucinating. And he looked at me and said, no, that's not happening. And I said, well, you know, Manchester United have told us that it is.
And there was none of this was true. None of this was in the office.
This was before he joined Arsenal, obviously.
Yeah.
And not true at all, but the Dutch, you know, particularly the Ajax supporting journalists, They were panicked because I was being really straight, and he was, and because it was totally untrue, van Gaal was really shocked and very, you know, strong in his denial.
Mm.
The more he denied it, the more the Dutch journalist started to think there was something. Eventually, my mate just van Gaal was getting more and more angry, and his head was. Obviously, when you're tripping, you kind of see things in a different light. His head was all glistening, and eventually my mate just kind of steered me out. The journalist followed us out, going, you know, when is this happening? Who told you?
It's amazing.
It was really funny.
There's a question, there's a little story, a lovely story in the foreword about Lord Lichfield, who you met with Felix Dennis. And he says to you, how on earth did you manage to sell so many magazines whilst taking so many drugs? It's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you go back to the late 80s, before, you know, 6 years before Loaded came out, the emergence of Acid House and then the arrival of Ecstasy.
Mm.
I know there were tragic cases like Leah Betts, but Ecstasy became an everyday part of club going. And it didn't matter if you were in kind of Rochdale or the Ministry of Sound or Blackburn or Stoke at Shelley's, wherever you were going out, that was a very common thing.
Yeah.
And
but that lifestyle, James, you know.
But that was a generational thing. It wasn't just me and some mates who worked in the music biz.
Yeah.
It was a generational thing. And ecstasy, in a way, was just opened as a platform for... I mean, people don't talk about this, but there was a lot of cocaine use in Britain in that era. I mean, I can remember being in Leyton Orient's toilets and they had a sign up saying, anyone found taking cocaine in here? I mean, that was a professional football club. Yeah. And
there's an issue with it around football now, of course.
Well, also because if you went to Liverpool, for instance, they used to say that the only people with any money there were the gangsters and the footballers.
Mm. So, well, there are a couple of things I'll ask you about. First, that lifestyle did ultimately take its toll. You're completely clean now. You have been for a long time. You went through rehab. And I know people, there could be people listening today who've gone through what you've gone through, maybe still going through it, or you know, have gone the same route as you. I mean, people do come to you for advice.
A lot of guys will get in touch because they've got, I mean, this morning I had a message from somebody, you know, we've got issues, particularly with drink, because obviously more people have access to drink than they have to ecstasy or cocaine or whatever. And, you know, you can deal with it. You know, I was lucky that the company I was working for got me a rehab counsellor. They wanted me to go into a residential rehab, so I was very lucky. But also, you know, Paul, I wanted to stop.
Yeah.
And it took about 4 or 5 months of seeing this guy. And eventually I got to the point where something happened that made me think that I really need to change what I'm doing. But it's not an easy thing to give up drinking or to stop taking drugs, but it is actually a simple thing. It's a very, very hard thing to do, but it's a simple thing. You simply don't pick it up. But it is a habit. I remember in the early weeks when I first was kind of starting to get, you know, be sober and kind of drug free, getting up in bars or restaurants and starting walking towards the box, and I didn't need to go to the toilet. It was just a habit.
Muscle memory.
I'd be halfway through a restaurant, I'd turn around and come back and think, I don't do that anymore. And then, you know, talking to people, I had some friends who were like, what? You know, I remember Shane McGowan, you know, if I used to drink in the bar that I was in all the time, he's going, what?
Yeah.
You've stopped drinking. I was like, because it was
in
just,
that environment,
it was just
it
better.
Have, I mean, I'm sure a lot of listeners, again, difficult. Are thinking it's hard in my environment to stop, whether they go to football, whether they go to gigs, whatever they do.
Oh, I drank everywhere. I had.
So in that environment, how hard is it to stop when you're surrounded by
trains, planes? I mean, the one thing I stopped doing was stag do's. I didn't go to a festival for years. But now I can pretty much... it would have to depend who was going. One time, one of the ad sales guys at my company said, come to my stag do, gaffer. I said, who's going? He said, it'll be great, you'll be fine. I said, you know, there's a lot of drink. And he goes, it's just the lads from the rugby club and some mates of mine from the SAS. He was like,
you've never fallen off the wagon.
No, because I'm better for it. I know I'm better. I'm perfectly happy being in a pub. I'm perfectly happy being at a match. Everyone's having a drink. You know, I took my little boy, I think we were at Southampton or something. The Leeds away is quite rowdy in the bar area. And they were just chucking drinks around, flying around. Yeah. My little boy was like just looking in shock. And the only issue for me is don't get splattered in it. You know, try and avoid the kind of waves of beer flying around.
Well done, because I knew
we haven't had time to talk about your love of Leeds, but we know.
I knew you amongst all the mayhem, so to have come through that and stayed clean is some achievement. So just one final thing. You know, you started something from scratch effectively, which was a kind of phenomenon. I mean, now people will be doing that online. It was just the start of the internet. There was a bit of crossover.
Yeah, I think podcasts are close to what it is, because you just see people chatting.
Do you feel you can still do that? You can still do something that's kind of era-defining?
Definitely. I think, you know, the younger guys I play football with, if you mention a podcast, they're all ears. You know, you've got the same dynamic in a good podcast. Two or three people sitting around talking enthusiastically, often in depth about things that a lot of people wouldn't think was important, obviously in our case, football. And you don't really need magazines anymore, because there was a time when people needed newspapers and magazines, newspapers for information, whether it's the TV listings or the weather or what's going on in the news. And magazines were like, they used to say to us in research that it's like a good friend.
Yeah.
That Loaded was like a really good mate that you'd want to be with. And now you get instant gratification on, Instagram and Twitter and TikTok and the rest of it and YouTube. And so we just live in a different landscape now.
Lovely to see you. Best of luck with the book. As I said, it's a romp and more. So I think people will love it. And I said, very evocative of a lot of different eras. And it's out now in hardback. It's called Animal House. Quirkus are the publishers.
It's on Audible and it's on Kindle as well.
And you read it? Have you done the?
Craig-ing. I did the reading and I'd never done anything like that before. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. So we left that in, and a lot of guys are kind of coming back and saying, I love the laughing. But it was just reading the stuff so stupid. It was like, you know, you just kind of couldn't really believe the stuff we were getting away with. So I enjoyed doing that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy, we did ask the TalkSport listeners because you went and saw the new film of Leslie Manville, Jason Isaacs, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Good film.
Yeah. But throughout it, you're wondering what kind of film Ron Harris Goes to Paris would have been like, the 70s Chelsea skipper and enforcer. Yeah. A very different film. If it basically him working with PSG, making him a bit more violent as a football team, I would imagine. So, we've been getting some suggestions from the TalkSport listeners. The talented Stuart Ripley. That would have been quite an interesting good, film. Yeah. Johnny gives us. What about A Clockwork Orange?
Nice.
You can see Jürgen in that bowler hat. Dave the Reading fan. It would have been very different. The Conte of Monte Cristo. You know what that would be like?
Defensive.
You'd have to suffer to watch that. It's 4 hours long. You'll have to suffer. Director's cut. Imagine the director's cut. He'd insist. He would. Be like an overblown Scorsese film, wouldn't it? The director's cut. Keep them coming, by the way. TalkSport.com. Text 81089. Text 81089. I've got to give you the Neville's Wear Prada. That's very good, isn't
very
it?
Very good.
Yeah. We'd all watch that.
Talking of Paris, it's amongst French cities banning the World Cup fan zones and big screens over Qatar's humanitarian abuses. You think, what's the point of that? That's absolutely going to have no effect whatsoever. You know, it would be much more effective if France didn't actually go to the World Cup, if you're that worried about it. Mm. Saudi Arabia have been awarded the 2029 Asian Winter Games. That's where I think of when I want to go skiing.
Yeah, fantastic. I don't know. The first thing you think of.
Tremendous.
Playing the ski Sunday music over camels. That would be fantastic.
Not ideal,
just a
really.
Mirage in the distance. Yeah, fantastic. Well, and, top place for your skiing holidays.
Another first round defeat, sadly, for Emma Raducanu. Have another sponsorship deal. Why not?
Being far too cynical. Time will come.
Will it? Okay. Still waiting.
Okay.
Well, you may well be right.
Anything else? You're like some bitchy columnist.
Well, I am, yeah.
Yeah?
King Charles had a winner yesterday, his first winner. I wonder, did he have
a
bet?
He wasn't riding it, was he?
No, he wasn't. Did he have a bet on it? I reckon Camilla had a little flutter.
You think?
Yes.
Do you think they'd do it online? They wouldn't pop
he
down.
Won about
they
eight,
wouldn't pop down Paddy Power, would they?
No. Online.
Yeah.
Worth about £8,200 or something to the winner. So, you know, it all goes towards the training costs.
The late Queen was a very canny punter.
She really did
know her stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Ian Owen wrote with this revelation to the Star this morning. What a sensation Erling Haaland is already turning out to be. His hat-trick against Manchester United was spectacular. Thanks for letting us know, Ian. I wouldn't have known that without you.
That's it. Tremendous. Yeah, indeed. Do you hear about the West Ham fan who went up to the bar? I'm often a bit nervous about this.
This is a good story.
You just flash your card on the... Well, it couldn't have been because it'd have 100 quid limit if you're paying for a... So anyway, she cut a long story short. She went and paid for a beer, which was £6.60 at the ground. Mm. And she was charged for...
Isn't it Gary?
Was it a guy? I'm
Gary
sorry.
Ollard.
Oh, sorry,
it was
Gary
with his
Ollard.
Girlfriend Zoe.
Oh, that's right. Okay, then put the picture of them together. So Gary went up. Yeah, do apologise, Gary. Went up and they gave him 60. Well, they charged him for 66 beers. So it came to.
He hadn't had 66 beers already, had he? How did he not notice?
Well, £435. Surely you
can't just swipe that. You've actually got to put your
card in the machine and put the number in.
Did he not think that's a bit odd for £6.60?
Yeah, anyway, West Ham said not us, Gov. It's an independent company that deal with it, so I'm sure they'll sort him out. But basically, if you're going to Qatar, Gary, I'll get used to that because that's the game.
That's cheap. £460
quid is about the going rate for a pint there. So if you are going, yeah, that's the sort of prices you'll be paying.
I did like this though. A mum discovered the face of Elvis staring back at her from a pot of McDonald's ketchup, apparently, because it doesn't look anything like Elvis, they never do. But he said, I was just debating if there was enough sauce to dip my chicken nuggets in again. I think, what a shame it wasn't chicken tenders. Would have been perfect then, wouldn't it?
You're going to sing chicken tenders to the tune of Love Me Tender.
Well, I'm not.
That's very nice.
I wouldn't attempt.
Obviously, have it Elvis McDonald's hits. No, we don't want those. And by the way, you're sending in how different films would be. And quite a lot of you have sent in one involving Stuart Dallas and what he does. They're not getting read out. You can send in as many as you like. The Stuart Dallas ones, I'm afraid, are not getting read out.
It's very
Come
good.
On, think of the time of day. But anyway, keep them coming. Yes, what else we got here?
Murty
Dancing.
What was it?
Graham Murty. What a beautiful film
that's
that would
back
be.
From me from last week.
Martin in Newcastle. That's a film. It would be a very... Quad Rafinha would be very good. Well done, Jamie, for that one. Again, a very different, film. That is clever.
My friend, I sit next to at Brentford. He texted me last night, and for some reason, he didn't tell me why, but he said, "I'm down here in Torquay, and I'm taking in Torquay versus Maidenhead."
Don't bring that up to the producer.
I said to him, "How are they getting on?" And he said, "It was 2-2 at the moment." And then he sent me through a late one, 3-2 to Maidenhead. They scored.
Torquay were in the lead. And they blew it.
I knew the producer would be in a bad mood today.
Charlie Baker's a broken man. The producer is not going well from their point of view.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And one of our semi-finals will feature the same person. For the first time, I think we've ever... I mean, we've been Alan heavy or Parry heavy in the past.
Is that the first time it's happened?
I don't know. But anyway, it's a Dean Saunders. It's a Dino 1-2-3. We won't play them in order, but they'll certainly be appearing in the same semi-final for you. So you can go and vote for your favourites at TSH&J after you've heard them. Yeah, so, of course, we're going to kick off with Dean Saunders. And one we're calling. We can't wait to see you at Crufts, Dino.
Just... dogs rather than massive walls, but still a frightening experience.
As you know, Laura, I judged the dog contest last week, and a dog's a dog, isn't it?
He's an odd choice of judge on that basis, isn't he? Really? Dean, would you come along and do the dog show? Yeah, I'm quite happy. But a dog's a dog, really, isn't it?
We're having no categories for breeds.
What do you mean breed?
This is Alan Brazil on Breakfast Now with Gabby Agbonlahor talking TV.
Prison Break, what?
Have you watched it?
No.
It's very good. I remember we were away with Villa and me and my teammate, we watched Philip Schofield.
Don't think he is, is he?
I do remember that scene in the prison canteen when he pushed in the queue.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous.
There was that time, but I think it might have been a play on the character's name, but there we are. Yeah. Oh, look out for him, though, in the next edition. Back to Dino, this time alongside Natalie Sawyer, reflecting on the early Premier League days.
When I played... and Sky just started. Imagine it being like a big pie and the player's got, you cut the pie in half, the player's got half the money. Player's got that half.
Is this a sweet or savoury pie?
Let's call it a cake.
Is it a cake or a pie?
That's what you normally call it, a cake.
Is it a cake or a pie? Make your mind up. Is it savoury or is it sweet? We need to know.
Here's a caller now to drive.
What are you doing? You sound like you're at work. What are you doing?
No, I'm in the kitchen, mate. I guess I'm working.
All right. What are you making?
I'm working.
What are you making?
I'm just staring at the sink.
Nice. Fantastic. Well, you know, they can't touch you for it. Why not? Just staring at the sink. And finally, it's breakfast with Dean, but it's not really his clip, and Laura Woods. And basically, you know what's coming.
Anybody out there know a cure for hiccups quickly? Because Laura's got it and it's not ideal for a radio presenter.
If you could send them in, that would be great. Now, the WBO interim champion who joined the boys on Drive in the studio yesterday...
We knew it was coming.
Sweet. Yes, we have got one more from Dean, haven't we?
We have. Here he is chatting about the Spurs manager.
Even listening to him last week when he was talking about VAR Conte, he was saying, like, I understand referee make a decision, but I don't understand when they look at the monitor.
Good job he didn't do the accent. What is this, a lower low? Fantastic.
Absolutely terrible.
So one of the Dean Saunders clips will make the final because they're going to have their own semi-final. So was it Dean's a dog's a dog? Was it the pie or is it a cake? Is it his fine impression of Antonio Conte? Or is it in the other semi-final, Big Alan and Gabby talking TV? Was it the listener staring at the sink or was it... Laura with the hiccups.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Quite fascinated by Britain's dullest man.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It isn't me, surprisingly.
Right, okay.
It's Kevin Beresford. We've spoken to him in the past. Remember he did a calendar of Jack Grealish's calves?
Oh, yes, yeah. Tremendous. But the thing is, he does them because they're big sellers.
They do, and it's a bit of fun anyway. He's doing village notice boards this year. Can't hardly wait.
But they sell. I mean, you know, the duller they get, the duller he makes them.
That's what.
The bigger the sellers.
That's his selling
are.
Point.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. It's hard to feel too sorry for Rebecca Vardy. She's going to have to pay quite a lot of money for Colleen's legal bills.
Yeah.
And she's still sort of tweeting stuff that probably isn't doing her a lot of favours. In the end, I think you have to accept you lost. That's it.
Yeah. There we are. I mean, you've always proved to be a good loser from a football point of view, Andy.
Yes.
So I think you're the perfect person
very much.
To tell us about that. Definitely.
Absolutely. John Fashanu will be appearing in Dancing on Ice.
You see that, yeah.
Yes, where he says he's going to win. Of course, he would do.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just time to bring you the winner of the Clips of the Month for September. 55% of the vote. Thanks to everybody who voted. Went to Laura Woods. And Dean Saunders here, and you can see what's going to happen. See you tomorrow.
Anybody out there know a cure for hiccups quickly? Because Laura's got it, and it's not ideal for a radio presenter.
If you could send them in, that would be great. Now, the WBO interim champion who joined the boys on Drive in the studio yesterday.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So there we are. That was today's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll be joined in. We'll be joined by Harry Hill. He'll be telling us about his new tour. Myself and Charlie and Andy will be back for the birthday spread.
Yeah.
Dale Vince, the Forest Green Rovers owner, he'll be on to tell us about a new documentary on the club, amongst other things. Do hope you can join us from one, if not the podcast, available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.